Blog Talk Radio.
I wish there was a video game to teach your ancestor name. I wish there was a phone number like 1-800-SAVE-YOUR-BROTHER. I'm thankful for the radio station, not afraid to put the truth in rotation. But there is certain information that you can only get in conversation with young people.
Good morning and welcome to First Ladies Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Suzlyn McDonald, coming to you from amazing, beautiful, the sun is out everywhere here in Vegas. And I'd like to say welcome, welcome, welcome. You are listening to First Ladies Blog Talk Radio. We're here every Monday and Friday, 10 a.m. to 10:30. We have our next 27 minutes that we're going to be sitting together, but you know my regular little housework. It's for you to sit down, get relaxed, find a place that you can have just a few minutes just for you. One of the things that women have the tendency to do is not take care of themselves. And one of my requirements and one of the things that I've put on myself is it's not even a burden anymore. It's kind of getting to be where it's easy to do, is to be able to take the time for myself. So I'd like for you to get a glass of water, some coffee, some tea, whatever it takes for you to be relaxed for the next 27 minutes with me. Well, we have our own basic little, like, Dr. Phil that we have for us women. First of all, she is a pastor's wife. But outside of that, her profession is psychology. So automatically, she's going to be able to talk to us on both sides of the fence. And then she's going to take the fence down and kind of merge it in with us and put us where we are not only getting our bodies physically healthy, but we're healthy from the inside out. You know, the best food we could actually get that would supply our need in everything that we do is, as we know, the Word of God. I tell you, if you'd like to call in, the phone number is area code 347-324-5730. I'm going to bring her in first today. My co-host is not going to be here. She's traveling. But in the midst of her traveling, what we are actually doing is we have someone that's going to guide us. Now, you can come in with your questions. I already see that we have two people that are waiting, but I'm going to bring Hilton. This is a Hilton, H-Y-L-T-O-N, Judith Hilton. Good morning. How are you?
Yes, good morning, Suzalene. I'm doing great, thank you. And how are you?
I am amazing. I have to start out by apologizing, not getting you the show right on time, but I am back on the path. I will get it done for you as soon as the shows are over from now on. But I tell you, we have a couple of extra people that are actually already on the line today. And I'd like you to kind of recap what we talked about the last time you were on and letting them know that you're going to be with us. Like, the first and the third of every month to be able to capture your, you know, the knowledge that you have that will take us to another level. So just kind of backing up a little bit just to get us some information to start with and catapult everybody in here. If you don't mind, can you kind of recap the conversation that we had last?
Well, last time we were talking about the whole thing about positioning in the church as a pastor's wife and the whole concept of, you know, submission versus, you know, being a doormat.
Yes, exactly.
That has been a very big issue, and we spent quite a lot of time talking about the issue of control, the fact that sometimes we want to, as pastors' wives, we know we have certain authority, and so it's occasionally sometimes we can abuse that too, but most times I find that the pastors' wives are the ones that are not necessarily elevated or not necessarily elevated, but put in a position where they feel significant or they feel their words are important or that they feel like, you know, they're pushed behind the scenes rather than, you know, coming forth and standing with their husband. So, and we talk about the relationship of submitting to your husband and you submitting to the authority of the church, and we talked quite a bit about that issue too.
Yes. Well, you know what is amazing, and I want to let you know that the branch of what this radio station is all about, yes, we are definitely trying to take care of our first ladies, but you know what I'm starting to get is more young ladies that are new to the ministry but desire to be in the position. And remember, we talked about it before, and the thing that we talked about is that there's nobody telling them the good, the bad, and the ugly, so they know how to be completely prepared. And I know that especially two of my callers that are calling today, they're not first ladies as of yet, or they're not the wife of a pastor. But as I explain to them quite often, I say to them, it's not about even being a pastor's wife per se. It's being a wife. I mean, and in a leadership position. So I'm going to bring in, let's see, the first caller that I see is area code 702-601-8456, because it works around the globe the same thing when it comes to women in our positions. Area code 702-601-8456. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, Miss Susie. This is Lizelle.
Good morning. Good morning. I'd like
to
introduce you to Judith Hilton.
Do
you have any questions of being in a position, wife, or basically, as she was talking about a minute ago, as we were talking last time about being in the position, knowing, and just to let you know, Judith, these are business owners. So it's the same thing as being in the church, having that same, prostrating yourself for this as well. So go ahead. Do you have any questions for Judith Hilton today, please?
I guess my question would be, if you, I mean, I'm not married at this time, but how, my question is that if I, you know, get to that point again and I become a wife of a very successful man, and that already has his whole life complete, and I come into his life, how do I add to the completeness? I don't know if that's the right question. You know, besides the love, you know, besides the love that I offer to him, how do I add to his completeness? Any suggestions?
The support that you want to give, if it's, for example, you're married to a, I'm saying, are you thinking primarily a man in leadership in the church, or just
like a leader in his own business, like a business owner too, like a president of a large corporation.
Okay. All right. Good question. I think one of the first things that you have to understand is that, you know, he is going to be put in a position of power. So a lot of people will affirm him in that particular position that he's in. So it's very important as his wife to make sure you also affirming him. Because if you judgmental, or you point out his faults, you know, he will, it will not be as effective. You will not be as effective in his position if his wife does not support him. And a lot of times, even as a pastor's wife, I think about, you know, there are times when people would affirm and compliment my husband and affirm him. And if he comes home and I start telling him what he didn't do correctly, you know, it means more to him what I think than even a thousand-member church people say to him, what a preacher he is or whatever. It doesn't mean as much in my case. When I say, you know, honey, you did an amazing job with that sermon, it really means a lot to him. And he's told me that before. So I would say in a situation, if he's doing a business, especially if this, you know, business is booming and stuff like that, be as supportive as you can to him. Of course, he needs to be supportive to you too. But I think that's a big part of it. And if you're a Christian, I would hope that you pray for him and let him know that you're praying for him, because that's very important for him to be to help to let him know that you are a helpmeet to him. You're supporting him in what he's trying to do.
Everyone that's on here, they are Christian. She is a Christian, and the ones that are on here are Christian today.
Okay, so we have that part done.
Yes. So you can speak very, you can release yourself. I'm going to bring in the next caller and put you on hold for just a moment, Lizelle. But the one thing is, everybody that you're speaking to today are biblically based. I have caller 949-529-6999.
Hi, this is Melody. Good morning, Melody. Everybody, and good morning, Ms. Hilton. Thank you for accepting our call. And my question to you is, I am coming into a leadership role, and I would like to know that the man that's coming into my life, I would like to know how I could go about in making him feel that he is my husband, that I will honor him. And how do I go about that in my everyday life? I am a daughter of God, and I am obedient to God, but I also have to know how to run the people that I serve. But I don't want my husband to feel any less than being the first gentleman, let's say, or the wife of a president, whether it's a corporation or a country. I want to know where and how I can make him always feel more worth it than, aside from God, to be the man in my life.
Well, there are so many different ways to address this, Melody. I think a big part of it, I can speak just more primarily as a pastor's wife, but I also speak to people who are in positions as I'm a counselor. And what I find out, a lot of women who come to speak to me about their husbands, especially they could be doctors or lawyers or, you know, people in certain high-power jobs. And I find that a lot of times the men would say to me that they feel like they're not being affirmed. And that's a big thing. For some reason, that's so important. As I said to the caller before, Lizelle, that you're feeling that your husband or your spouse is being affirmed by you is becoming one of the most important things. Men like to feel like they're respected by their wives. And most men I speak to, they feel like if their wife does not respect them, it says that they do not really value their abilities or their talents, or they don't think they're that important. And so if you keep speaking belittling words, that's not going to be healthy for the relationship, for the marriage in general. But I think it's building them up. Now, it's not going to be, it says, speak the truth in love. So you're going to speak the truth to him too. But you're going to do it in such a way, or choose to do it in such a way that it will glorify God. It will not make him feel like not valued or is not worthy of his position. So I think a big part of it is praying for him. I mean, as I said to the caller before, I think your questions are pretty similar in that you need to continue to, you know, as I tell people, I literally lay hands on my husband when he's sleeping at night and pray protection from the traps of the enemy, especially from people who might speak into him negativity, people who might want for his demise, people who might want to not want to see him succeed. So I pray against those things. So that's kind of the approach I take. So I would believe a big part of it is affirming, you know, complimenting, respecting, and also praying for him. So that's think those are the big ones for me. I'm sure there are many other things. I don't know if Susie Lane, if you have anything to add, but that's kind of where I've seen that's been most successful in helping marriages to be strong.
You know, one of the things that you said that really stood out to me, and you've said it to me before because I discussed with you when I was going through a lot of my issues, and you said to pray over him and to speak the words of protection on him, that the traps of the enemy don't, you know, they won't cause him to have a demise. The other thing is that I want to kind of do just give a little bit of a clarity to the public that's actually listening to this. When it comes to Judith Hilton, the wisdom, and I want you to tell them about your book, because every one of us are in a position of a pastor's wife, whether your husband is in the pulpit or if he is in a position of esteem. Bottom line being, as the same thing that you would pray for him, I pray to God that the men, I hope you're listening out there, because I see some of my gentlemen on here on my board, And you pray the same thing, too, because if Eve would have never been beguiled, if Adam would have been paying close attention to what was going on around him, she would never have been beguiled by the devil and had a conversation with him. So the same thing that Judith is actually saying, it applies across the board. They say that we're the weaker vessel, but yet and still, prayer doesn't matter how strong you are or how weak you are. It means that we need to come under submission to the Holy Spirit and see each other as weak, but made strong in God and with the prayers of the righteous that availeth much. I tell you, Judith, you give me chills because I don't even have the time really understand until you start speaking. So I'm not going to take up the time. I want to be able, Lizelle, you're still on the phone, and I also still have Melody here. And you know what? Like I tell you, First Lady, this was for you first. But I see that the clarion call is going out across the nation for others. God says those that, you know, for us, those that are willing, come. But if you don't come, God's going to replace that spot with you with someone else and give them the knowledge. But I want to go back into this because my title even for the show today, Judith, was I Know Who I Am. Did you know or do you know? Let's speak to that, too. It kind of wraps up what we're talking right here. Go ahead.
Yes, I think I know last time we had mentioned about the fact of people, women who have gone through the divorces and how they go through this thing of feeling that they're rejected by the church and they are rejected by the community, the church community.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of time, a woman doesn't have to be divorced to feel like they're not accepted by the church, but they could go through some crisis in their relationship or you know, maybe separation in marriage and because of stresses and whatever happens in the relationship. But I think one of the things I've come to realize that if a woman is built up in her most holy faith, if she's really striving to stay connected to the Lord and to the Holy Spirit, as you rightly said, it's going to make a difference. We dry up when we are, my husband uses a quote called, when we are wordless, we become faithless.
When
we're not in the word, then we lose faith in our husbands, in our children, in our family, in our life, even in ourselves. And then we go through like a case with a person who's divorced in ministry, feeling like I've failed and there's guilt and condemnation on them. They never feel like they measure up. But then they abide in the word and they abide in community. Now, if you have ever feeling, and if there's anybody out there in the audience, listening audience, that has gone through a divorce, and you feel like you're a lost cause, you know, you feel rejected, not accepted. Mm-hmm. One of the things that makes you feel worthy is to connect into the word of God. But the other piece is connect with a community that can support you. You need to be part of a small group, a group that can speak into you. That your gifts and your talent can be used, that you can be affirmed, because you are all a beautiful person. Even though God hates divorce, no, you know, God loves marriage. People will hear that.
Yes.
God loves marriage. And so he wants to do everything to help you to make it work. He hates divorce, but it's not the unpardonable sin. So it's important for us to, but first of all, we have to get in our minds that we don't want to go there. If it has happened, it's not unpardonable sin, and you can go on with your life if you are in a supportive community. If you're not in that community, friends, find a community to be that will support you in the situation that you're in, because it's a very terrible thing to be divorced. It's painful. It's loss. Yeah. The children feel it, and people tell me all the while, well, you know, the kids, you know, let's do it early because the kids, you know, won't have as much pain. And I'm telling you, they do it early or they do it later. Even adult clients of mine would say that they still, even though they're adults, still are affected them in their own marriages. So I'm trying to encourage you to stay faithful. To stay committed to, and whatever, I'm not talking about people who are living in an abusive relationship now, but I'm talking about people who have day-to-day issues. They call it irreconcilable differences, because that's the number one reason people separate today. But you do everything to make sure you are being the model of Christ or the mirror of Christ to that spouse. And you do whatever you can do to make sure that relationship stays strong. So I can't say that enough. I'm, as a therapist, I'm getting so many couples who are, you know, saying, I'm just tired of him. I'm just weary. I just, no fears, no, not necessarily anything that's, you know, it's, the scripture says that you should divorce for. They're just tired. They're just bored. They want to get somebody new. They're just, you know, they're just tired, stressed, and you know, the person's not pleasing them anymore. And, you know, those are the things I'm hearing, Elaine. Those are the things I'm hearing from Christine. So I'm saying, whatever you can do to take care of that inner man, because it's when the inner man is not working right, it comes out in the outer man. Input, output, what goes in is what comes out. If you're spending time in the Word of God, it's going to make a difference. I know when I'm dry, it's the times when I'm not staying in the Word, I emote to other people. I say things I shouldn't say, behave in ways I shouldn't behave. So I would say that's a big part of guarding your heart, your heart, giving this level in a community. And that's how you're going to be able to support the people around you, your husband, your spouse, your boyfriend, because you're filling yourself with his love and his spirit and his word, and it's going to come out, and you see the difference. You're going to see the difference when you stay in the word. I can't emphasize that enough.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, one of the other things, you said something that I had just written down, because I don't believe, I mean, even in the relationship, my relationship, I never say never, because, you know, God will make you, he will embarrass you by making your relationship come back together if you run your mouth. And that's something that I really don't do. I constantly affirm, because I can honestly say it's totally a man of God, and I know that. But the bottom line, too, is you said one word that literally leaped in my spirit, and I had written it before you said it. And you said the part about a dry season. Now, a lot of times we're looking for the excitement, the fireworks to always be in the relationship. But in everything, there is a dry season. There's a season. And I talk to the young ladies that I minister to a lot, and I say, even in that dry season, when the season feels like it's dry, that's when you need to go to the living water. But outside of going to the living water, even for myself, after the divorce, there is a season that is so dry that literally you can cough in their sand. And I felt for myself, I can only speak on my behalf, I felt like my words were going from my lips to the tip of my nose and falling to the ground. But I realized what it was is because I was broken in a way that my prayers, I didn't lean in totally. Now I have found that back again. And I feel the water that was once around my head as though I was submerged, that it has actually come back to that point. Now, where my husband is concerned, if it be that God put us back together, I am still in a place, in a position of being, I'm humble and I have the humility, but I will not cross that line until it's done with God again, if that be God's will. And I'm willing, whatever God says. Can you speak to that as well?
Well, I think the couples that I've worked with that I thought, they came to me and said, you know, it's done. I mean, it's over. There's nothing left. And what's interesting is that they tell me, you know, they would say, there's nothing. I just know that there's nothing that can happen. And these are people who know Christ. I'd usually say to them, well, thank God that he doesn't give up on us. And the thing is that you are, even though you might be separated right now or you've been divorced, because after divorce, people would come back in and say they were trying to get it back together. They would say, you know, if what they found was that, I said, work on yourself as individuals. Because, you know, we always are concerned about the other person being the best person for us. But we're not concerned about also being the best person for the other person. And even couples, young couples that come to me married, I say, you said, I want to find a man of God, they always tell me. A godly man is a man of integrity. And I said, are you a godly woman? Are you striving to be a godly woman? A woman of integrity, a woman who's faithful to the word of God, a woman who's, you know, clinging to every word to try to live like Christ wants you to live. Because that's more important, because even in the divorce or separation, the people who rush off quickly and run to marry somebody else, the percentage, the statistics shows that the percentage of people who end up having a divorce after second marriage or third marriage is extremely high. You go on any internet, even on the internet, it will tell you, even though sometimes the internet is always accurate, but it will tell you that there are so many people who end up in second marriages, third marriages, divorced. Why? Because they have not changed me, themselves. They're taking the same behavior back into another relationship. So I would say, fix me first before I'm trying to fix somebody else. And we always concern about fixing the person rather than fixing ourselves. And that's exactly what has happened to a lot of relationships. So I would say focus on doing everything you can, even while you're separated from the husband or divorced or whatever. If God wants to restore, and if usually God wants to restore that, you know, you take, you know, restore the years the locust has eaten. He can do that. But it has to be yielding, yield to him. When you're ready, when do you think this is going to be the time that we need to come back together and you can do it, God? I've seen it. I've graduated many, many couples who thought they would never ever. And they're back together and trying to live, trying to follow the scripture. But if we follow the scripture, Susan Lane, I'm telling you, if we truly live like God wants us to live, we would not even be using the word. That should not even be part of our vocabulary, the word divorce, when we are married.
Yeah.
It should not even be part of our vocabulary. So,
yeah.
You know, I want to encourage those who have not gone through a divorce to take that word out of your vocabulary. Don't even bring it up. Don't even discuss it.
Yes.
You know, you know, that's in our package. That's not in our plan. God has put us together, glued us together. And God has brought together that no man, no woman, no one separate.
Yes, exactly. Okay, well, I agree with that totally. And then the one thing that I would like to also lend the remainder to this, because we have the callers on the line, we have exactly 2 minutes. And I'd like for you, if you have any final questions, to pose them. I have the lines open. And then I'll give the last minute to you. But before we do, I'd like to thank our sponsors. Hands of Comfort Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization dealing with anything that's traumatic to you, be it the loss of a marriage, the loss of a home, loss of a job, or even if it's thinking of suicide, there is an answer. The phone number is a 24-hour number that you don't have to talk to a VRU. You're talking to a human being. 702-683-6373. Again, that number, 702-683-6373. And Destined for Glory Ministries, which is a nonprofit organization, Pastor Tony Howard. I'm going to go ahead, as I said, we now have 2 minutes left. If you have any questions, I have you first. Lizelle, do you have any questions that you'd like to pose? And then wait for your answer. I'll let her close with the answer for you as well. Go ahead.
No, I don't have any more questions, but I just want to say thank you for the words. For the words of wisdom that you have shared. I feel so honored and humbled that I'm on this call and I'm able to hear you speak. And it's really, really has touched my heart, and I thank you for that. And I wish you more blessings from God.
Well, thank you so much, Lizelle. Really appreciate you saying that. And God bless you too as you step forward to allow God to lead your life. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I have Melody. You have any questions that you'd like to close out with? We have 60 seconds.
For me, no questions. I just want to get let you know that thank you for the affirmation for the thoughts that I've already had. You just affirm exactly what I need to do. And I want to thank you for that, for allowing me to be on this call, Ms. Susie, and also Ms. Hilton. Thank you so much for everything, and God bless as well. And I love you guys, so thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well,
thank you so much.
I tell you, you don't even know what you did. We will talk later. But anyway, just from these conversations and this time together, we don't have anything else, and I want to hold it because she will be back again, which I will also have this. It's going to be put on Facebook and everything now. I want to let you know that this has been a blessing. I so appreciate you. And more than anything, I want to thank you for the gift that you keep right on giving.
Thank you. You're welcome, Susan. Thank you so much for this program.
Oh, my God, it's amazing. I tell you, you made a difference in just my life as well. Again, this is First Ladies Blog Talk Radio. We're here every Monday and Friday, 10 a.m. to 10:30. Join us We have exactly 9 seconds, but I say to you, join us that you may get the words of wisdom that will keep the freely flowing waters flowing in you, that you don't get dry. I thank you again. And Judith, I would like to talk to you later on today. I will send you a copy of this. Thank you for joining me. I love you guys. I tell you, Judith, I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an amazing day.
And you too.
I'll be giving you a call later. Bye-bye.